It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger, brought to you by Bottle Barn. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
California Wine Country, and it is brought to you by Bottle Barn. Barry Herbst, the wine buyer at Bottle Barn, back with us after a European trip that I can't wait to hear about.
Cool.
And you brought an Italian rosé, is it?
Yeah, I brought a one from Tuscany and then a white wine from the Ligurian coast.
All right, cool. And, of course, my co-host Dan Berger is here, and Tom Simoneau is presenting Bob Cabral, who's been with us, winemaker at Three Sticks Wine, who we love, but he's got Bob Cabral wines now. Bob, good to see you again.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me, Steve.
I can't wait to check this out. California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn. We'll talk to Barry Herbst about his European trip and what's new at Bottle Barn in a moment, but I'm going to let Tom Simoneau, the original Sonoma County wine guy, I know that because I named him that in 1992, introduce Bob and explain what's going on here.
Well, we have master winemaker and good friend of mine, Bob Cabral, who today is introducing his first ever line of wines, the Bob Cabral wines. And, I mean, his William Selyem, he's with Three Sticks, Alderbrook, Deloche, every big winery in Central
Hartford
California.
Court.
Hartford Court here.
Two Buck Chuck.
There you go.
Really? You're responsible for Two Buck Chuck?
Well, it was before Chuck came on board for $2. So, yeah, back in one of my first jobs back in 1980 was working for Bronco Wine Company.
Right.
There 4 years.
Did you know Jimmy Smith?
I did not know Jimmy Smith.
He was there with them for a long time.
No.
Well, I've been waiting to get these wines to let everybody hear about them. They're going to be released next Tuesday on your website.
Right. You can go to www.bobcabralwines.com.
C-A-B-R-A-L.
And get onto my wife's mailing list. And I call it her mailing list because we had an agreement that I would make the wine and grow the grapes and she would sell it for me.
There you go.
So
very cool.
Yeah.
So these wines are spectacular, and this is the opportunity for you to introduce them to Sonoma County.
Right. So all of the wines are being produced with proprietary names because there aren't any single one vineyard in any of the bottlings. So I have three wines that we're going to initially release. I have a 2015 Russian River Valley Pinot Noir called Troubadour. And it comes from three sites in 2015, and I added a fourth site in 2016. And Cuvée Anne Rose is the Sonoma Coast Chardonnay. This Cuvée comes from a couple of different vineyards out towards the Occidental Freestone area, so a very, very cold part of Sonoma County. You're almost out to Bodega Bay at that point. And then the American Girl, Rosé, 2016, the vintage itself kind of lent to my thought process of what a rosé should really be. So I knew I was going to do a little bit of Saignée or bleeding from the main
from the
tanks from the Pinot. And what
explain
that is,
bleeding.
So what we do is we crush the grapes into a tank. And while we're doing a cold soak for Pinot Noir, usually we keep dry ice on it for maybe 4 or 5 days, maybe 6 days.
Dry ice.
Dry ice, so that you keep the oxygen off of the top and you don't get bacterial infections or even bad yeast like Brettanomyces taking off. Or I've even seen mold actually grow on the tops of the caps if you don't manage that oxygen. So during this process, a lot of people will bleed right away, meaning that they'll draw juice off of the tank into another tank or into a barrel. In my case, it was into a couple of kegs. And I waited a couple of days and held this juice until I brought my next batch of grapes in. And then I had a really small kind of open top fermenter. It would be like a 75-gallon keg or drum that I put some whole cluster grapes in, kind of mashed them up with my feet, and then I put the bleed back on top. Now, mind you, I don't use any cultured yeast. It's kind of lazy winemaking, if you will. And I'm just letting whatever yeast come in on the grapes take over the fermentation and kind of produce the wine from that particular area.
So it wasn't a cold ferment?
So it started to ferment. and I let it ferment for about 2 days, and it had only dropped about 4 or 5 bricks, so it didn't get super
really
warm.
Yep.
And then I had to take a basket press and press this stuff out because we didn't have it was such a small volume. Then I took that juice and put it into a once-used French oak barrel, and then I put it in a cold room and let it finish fermentation in there.
Yeah. There's always a risk in doing that because you're running the risk of volatility, but you have none here.
Yeah, nice, you know, you got to be clean. And anybody that's worked with me over the years knows that the one thing I really dislike is a dirty cellar. You know, if it smells like a winery, there's a problem.
Really?
You know? Yeah.
Fascinating.
The funk goes through the wine.
The funk goes through the wine, exactly.
Boy, this is a beautiful colored rosé, man.
It is.
Wow.
It's
a gorgeous. Red wine.
Right.
It is.
Well,
gorgeous.
That's what I wanted to bridge that gap, really kind of between the what my wife calls porch or picnic kind of rosé, and then just light Pinot. So I actually back blended almost 20% dry red from the 2016 lots into this. After fermentation,
to adjust the color a little bit.
To adjust the color, to adjust the texture, the tannin. I wanted a little more barrel on it. I wanted it to be a real serious rosé. I want people to have a different idea.
I have a question for you. Do you think that this might be one of the few rosés ever made that really is going to be better in about 6 months?
I think it'll be better probably in about 2 years.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah,
I agree.
I did 2 cases of Magnums for myself.
There we go.
For that reason.
Yeah, for that reason.
One of the few rosés that'll age.
That'll age, yeah.
That's why I call him Dan Lay It Down Burger. I don't know how he does it, but he's got a big wine cellar. This really is spectacular. Dan, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is an unusual style, and it's really delicious, but it's bone dry. I mean, there's no sugar in here at all. And the most interesting thing about it is you get it in the mouth, you see, well, that's what, white wine. No, wait a minute. It's red wine. It's both. It's rosé with the both purposes of white and red. It's really fascinating.
I think the yeast really captured the aromas and a lot of the prettiness that Pinot Noir can have. And,
Barry Herbst, your thoughts?
Yeah, sometimes rosé with Pinot, to me, gets a little too delicate, and you start losing the best parts of it. This would just extend the range of food that you could match to. I mean, rosé is already pretty flexible. You could go into some pretty heavy meats. You could do duck. You could do lamb with this, I think, no problem. Just because it's got a lot of grip and a lot of...
It actually has tannin.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I like it for that. It's really red wine, honestly.
Yeah.
It's rosé with a purpose.
It's got the refreshing quality of rosé and the depth of red wine. It's great.
Do you guys remember a label called Garnet from
Absolutely. Sainsbury? Sure. Sainsbury did a nice job with it.
Pretty much a light Pinot or a dark rosé.
Yeah.
And I always admired that wine from the time I was in grad school till... Even now, I don't even know if they make it still.
It's still out there.
Yeah.
We carry it, but it's not that style.
Yeah.
It's a much riper Bronco bottle, I think, actually.
Bob, I'm going to assume you make, and I don't remember, but I'm assuming you make a rosé with three sticks?
We do, but that's made from Rhone red varietals. We call it Castaneda Rosé, so it's sold just at the tasting room.
Too.
Yeah, it's an old... It's an old whiskey bottle.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, so it's a clear, old-fashioned whiskey bottle.
Yeah.
Oh, that's lovely, man.
I mean, this is really something. And you stretched how many cases did you say, 73?
No, it's almost 70.
70 cases.
Yeah.
And again, this is new Bob Cabral Wines.
Yep.
BobCabralWines.com, CABRAL. Wow. And it's only... available if they go to your website, right they can buy
right now. You can sign up. My wife has a mailing list and she will get in contact with you as soon as the release goes out, which will be on Tuesday the 27th of June. I believe she is going to try and do about an 8-day release period, and you can go in there, order the number of bottles that you want. After the release period is over, you won't necessarily get all the bottles. So if people start ordering cases, that probably isn't going to happen. And then we'll try to redistribute it. I don't want it to be this feeding frenzy. I want people to be able to get the amount of wine that they want to get. But I don't want it to become this elusive enigma. It needs to be available to people. And I want people to understand why we're doing this project as well. And it was something that was conceived by my wife and I, and I only agreed to do this project if we could combine kind of the four things that are really most important to me, my family, my winemaking and grape growing, music, and philanthropy. And if we could finance this by ourselves, I could have enough money for operating capital, then we could take the rest of the money and give back to just this wonderful community locally as well as nationally that has been so good to me and my family over the years. It's just it's that time in my life that I need to be thinking about giving back even more.
Yeah, there's the first thing you can click on the website is why now?
Why now? Question mark. Yeah. Yeah. After almost 40 years, why would you start your own wine brand?
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, but you can read it online. And I do want to, well, first off, I'm looking at the website, and let me quote this. Bob Cabral is quite the character, and his wines also have outstanding character. Which do I prefer? Well, I've always said it's better to have character than to be one. I will take Bob's wine anytime. That is a quote from Sammy Hagar. You are big into music, and you know a lot of these folks. But give me your background again, because it's been a while since you've been in.
Sure. So I grew up in the Central Valley of California near the town of Modesto, a little town called Escalon. My folks were grape growers and almond growers. And I went to school down at Fresno State. I worked for big wineries down in the valley for about six or seven vintages and decided I really wanted to learn how to make wine in small batches, barrels in particular. So I moved up to Sonoma County in 1986 and got the assistant winemaker job at Deloach Vineyards under Randy Ullum, who is now the wine master for all of Kendall Jackson. And Randy just really honed my skills and taught me that no matter what price point, what you were doing, you always try to do the best. And you don't go home because you're tired. You don't go home because this broke or you need to be somewhere. Always have the wine's best interest at heart. And I've kind of taken that with that and being clean in the winery as well. So I've always kind of taken that to heart. And over the years have worked under some amazing winemakers and have had access to some stellar fruit that has lent me the access to people like Sammy Hagar and Emeril Lagasse and Jonathan Cain from Journey. And I sell wine to Cliff Williams, the bassist at AC/DC. And you just get to know these people on a very different level and that they really do understand and enjoy what you're trying to accomplish kind of as an artist as much as I can appreciate what they're trying to do as an artist.
We had the guy from the band with the thing and who does the winery. Was it Metallica? No. Who the hell did we have in who's in the Bay Area, has the his winery? You're a big fan. Wow. Mike is getting
Houston,
old.
Arizona. Tool?
Tool? Oh, the guy, yeah. No, but
Dave
no.
Matthews. Dave Matthews has a winery, yeah. I believe, in Virginia, isn't
it? Yeah, he's doing that. No, yeah, who's the guy?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Rockstar?
Rock yeah. Roll? Local. I mean, Bay Area, you know, they're known all over the world, but it's not Metallica? What's the other one? Not Green Day. No? Maybe I saw
wine to the Green Day drummer as well. Yeah.
We had the bass player in. Who? Okay. Think about it, Mike.
Come on, Mike.
I might have dreamed it, but... wait. Okay, wait a minute. Oh, damn it. I'm having senior moments just to... okay, anyway.
Well, we'll get to it.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Before we try anything else, Barry Herbst, the wine buyer at Bottle Barn, is back with us after a trip to Europe. It was because your daughter graduated from college?
High school. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't look old enough to have a daughter graduate from college. My bad. And you were in Italy and France?
Yeah, we started in France and went through the Loire Valley in Burgundy on that leg of the journey and then rolled into Piedmont and Tuscany shortly after that.
Nice.
And the kids definitely favorite Italy, just because the food's a little easier, the people are a little easier.
Oh, yeah.
But
and being Italian, I have to agree with that. but these wines that you brought, it was one from France or are they both from Italy?
They're both from Italy. On the way to Tuscany from Piedmont, we stopped on the Ligurian coast, and I didn't have this exact wine, but it was all over in the cafes there. Pigato from the producers Vio Bo, I believe, in a small town, south. Fairly far south from Portofino in that area. So we stopped in Santa Margherita, which was a beautiful, beautiful warm water that the kids were swimming in, and it was great. And,
gorgeous area of Italy that tourists don't typically flock to.
Yeah. A lot of we didn't make it all the way to Portofino, and we were glad we didn't. We were really happy with Santa Margherita. So.
All right, I got to interrupt here. Breaking wine news. At least I know I'm not going crazy or crazier than I have been. It was Les Claypool from Primus.
We carry the wines.
He was in the studio. Mike says, thanks to the listeners for that one. It took our listeners to remind Mike and I who it was.
Purple Pachyderm.
And even my good friend of 11 years, Christopher DiMatteo, who's in Southern California and works for my production company, Vicario Productions, he came up with it, too, because... He's heard
listening.
The show.
He's listening.
Yeah, well, he always listens. It's great. But, yeah, it was Les Claypool from Primus. He was cool. And the wines are good, right, Barry?
Oh, yeah.
They are.
Definitely.
Really good.
And he's importing a wine from Champagne, making a sparkling wine from grapes from there. And then we've got a rosé from him that was hugely popular at our rosé tasting.
He lives in Marin, right? Or is he?
No,
he lives in Sonoma County.
He's out off of Morelli Lane.
Yeah, okay, that's right.
Should we give his home address? No.
Yeah. Because he grows in out there.
I think he's planted some Pinot. I remember the first time I met Les was at a dinner at Zazu when they were over on Guerneville Road.
Oh, yeah.
And Ziggy was doing a West Side Boys dinner, and it was Donatiello, Arista, William Selyem, and Thomas George, I believe. And so we each had a course, and we were presenting our wines. And, I'm saying hi to everybody. We're drinking bubbles and this and that. And I walk up, and I introduce myself to Les and Cheney, and I had no idea who they were. And I said, hi, I'm Bob. And Les says, oh, I know who you are. And I go, really? Who am I? And he goes, you're the Eddie Van Halen of Pinot Noir.
You got it.
And the funny part of that is I just read Sammy Hagar's book, which was a little disenchanting on Eddie's demeanor when it came to the band. So I didn't know whether to take that as a compliment or... or what? But
so you picked up your Strat and you started doing
exactly,
French taps, right?
Exactly. Right there in front of him.
And my good friend Joel Selvin, longtime rock critic for the Chronicle, co-wrote that book with Sammy.
Yeah, that was good read.
Okay, now Barry, this is risotto.
This is not the
rice dish, but
no, this is rosé from Tuscany. The winery is La Spinetta. They have properties in Tuscany and Piedmont, and this is more in that picnic rosé genre that we were talking about earlier. Just really easy drinking, light, crisp. 50% Sangiovese and 50% Prugnolo Gentile, which I will defer to Dan on. I have no knowledge on that
grape variety that was planted for volume.
Yeah.
It must
be something ancient from there. There's several of them from that area, Caniolo and things like that, but I have not seen this grape before.
Very similar to Mission.
Yeah, there we go.
I was going to say, don't you make grappa or brandy out of that?
That's pretty much what you do.
Like that.
I really like this.
It's got a little sweetness to it, though.
It's
I get a little, not a lot.
I mean, I don't like it as much as Bob's rosé, but
3 grams of sugar, whatever. So,
what do you think, Dan?
It's really light quaffing wine.
It would
go
summer
great
wine
with some skewered chicken that's been marinated. I think it's a nice, fresh, refreshing wine. It's not very serious, but nor does it have to be. If you're sitting on a patio and you're having some chips and some cheese, this is it.
You know, the problem with a wine like this is it's always half empty.
Right. Exactly.
It just goes, yeah.
Well, today's the first day of summer, and I say salute.
There we go, folks.
There we go. Cheers. Oh, God. Now I got to go all the way over because I have a superstition.
Uh-oh.
No.
Oh,
sorry.
I think I know that superstition.
There we go. All right.
Careful.
There we go.
Cool.
We got it.
Okay. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Mike's giving me the break sign. Okay, we'll take a break, and we'll be back. It's great to have Bob Cabral back. He is the winemaker of Three Sticks, who we love, and he's now got Bob Cabral Wines, and we're tasting some of that. Barry Herbst, the wine buyer from Bottle Barn, has brought some stuff from his recent trip to Italia, and of course, it's my co-host Dan Berger, and the great Tom Simino is with us. We are back on California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn. Barry Herbst, the wine botter, bottle, the wine bottle from Bottle Barn. He's the buyer at Waddle Barn, and he's with us also, my co-host Dan Berger. And today, Tom Simino is back, and Bob Cabral is back with us. He makes wine for the great Three Sticks, and now he's got Bob Cabral Wines. Go to BobCabralWines.com.
You know, I just have to say that the during the news and all of that, the conversation and he was so good. I think we're going to go to break now so that we get back into the...
all right, well, all the good stuff comes out. Right?
Yes, and that's why I always tell people in this room, save it.
Yeah.
Save it for the radio. And what do you guys do? You come up with what would be another award-winning segment, but you do it when we're in a news break.
Well, you know.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah. It's because we live this.
I know you do. Know?
That's what it is.
I know.
So, Bob, tell us about this beautiful Chardonnay.
So this Chardonnay, 2015, Cuvée Anne Rose, named after my wife and my daughter, who are very much a part of this brand. Their middle names, my wife, Heather Ann, and Paige Rose. And this wine, again, was just whole cluster pressed, comes from just really, really interesting sites out near Bodega, near the towns of Occidental and Freestone. To me, it's almost more Chablis-like than it is really California Chardonnay. It's got that nice acidity. It's got a good verve to it. Went through 100% ml and still finished with a pH of 3.32.
That's unbelievable.
So those wine geeks, now we're
geek
talking
kind of
Chablis.
Geek alert. And,
that's a geek alert.
Explain
all
that.
The way. Well, a lot of the California Chardonnays, like even the ones at Three Sticks, are in that 3.45 to maybe 3.65.
That means they're softer.
They're a little bit softer, a little bit rounder, a little bit more approachable. I want this to taste better in 10 years, even. I want this wine to really have some life.
The only person I know who can lay it down for 10 years is
Dan Berger.
Dan Lay It Down Berger. Right? This is too good to lay down for me. But
it's delicious wine.
When you lay something down, it's like it makes it home.
It's in my trunk. Yeah, that's it. My trunk is my wine cellar. I throw 10 bags of ice in there and in my trunk, and and
on the way out, it's cold.
It makes it.
Can you imagine how good this wine is with food?
Yeah. That's the other
really
thing.
Really special.
I think everybody knows that I love to eat. That's why I got into winemaking, and I really wanted to make wines. And I think both of these last two wines, the American Girl Rosé and Cuvée Anne Rose Chardonnay, are really good food wines. You know,
it's the acidity and the aftertaste that you pick up, and then you start to think of which food. And this is really kind of like a red wine in the aftertaste. It's really,
really
gorgeous. Oh, well, to me, it's got all this weight and structure. It's gorgeous.
Round.
Yeah. It's soft.
Like definitely not a lightweight.
No.
I get the Chablis thing you were talking about in the entry, and then in the finish, it's almost like Meursault or Pliny Montrachet.
Yeah, it does pick up.
It's a long, like, persistent finish that kind of sneaks up on you after
It's big in an elegant sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
You
but
know
yeah,
what I mean?
But
it's like the richness,
and I hate
but
to,
it's not overdone.
I hate to belabor this, but this is really meant for the cellar. I mean, honestly, to drink it now is fun, but it's sublime in 5 years.
I love this, and I'm, you know, as everyone knows, I'm a huge Chardonnay guy. This is unique to me, Bob, and I'm not sure why, because I'm not a wine geek, but.
Well, as long as you like the taste of it, Steve.
I guess that's all that matters.
That's all that matters,
So we put you down for a case?
Yeah, sure.
A pallet? Actually, there's only a pallet, so you could have the first pallet, Steve. And then we'll give the other half to Dan Lay It Down Berger. And then we'll all go to his house over the next 4 or 5 years. Right? We'll have a party at Dan's.
And, Barry, I bet you're bummed out that you can't sell this stuff at Bottle Barn.
Yes, we've already been negotiating.
Yes,
the break.
Of course.
We have. Yeah,
you know, I don't miss those opportunities.
Right on. That's part of your
it
job.
Would be it would be an honor to have our wines at Bottle Barn. I think you guys have one of the extraordinary cellars here
Thank
in the
you.
Northern California,
without question.
Yeah,
that would
It's
great
spectacular.
To have it.
I always tell people when they can't get stuff, go check Bottle Barn.
Yeah.
You know, and if they don't have exactly what you want, they will help you find something that you will enjoy.
Actually, we spend a lot of time ordering stuff for people because we deal with everybody. So.
And keep in mind, they also have the best selection of spirits of all kinds and craft beer.
Sake.
Cider. Sake.
When are we doing the sake thing?
Yeah,
we're waiting for the guy to come back from an extended vacation. I think he's finally back. Jason's working on that.
Okay, cool.
It is going to happen.
I love sake, and we're going to do a sake tasting with Bottle Barn.
Probably in a restaurant, or we could do it in here, however you want to do it.
Yeah. No. I think it's safer in here.
That's true.
Because my valet, Guido, can take me home right afterwards.
There you go. Always available.
Yeah. He's valet and chauffeur. Oh, okay. And BobCabralWines.com. You got to check it out.
Go through the website.
Yeah.
You know, listen. I've paired some music with the wines.
You've got your song list.
I got my song list in there for each of these wines. And I really want you to have that full experience. And I think that that song or that type of music is as much individual as wines are.
You so open listen up to on that website, man.
I do.
Mean, I've known you for back Alderbrook, the Lowe's. I mean, I've known you a long time. And I'm reading the website and I go, that's Bob.
Well, you may have to change the set list, too, in like 10 years when the wines mature.
Absolutely.
You have a whole other vibe going on there.
It could change in 6 months.
Yeah,
if the wines change. So, and that's the great thing about music is, and like wines. I think there's so many choices out there. You can really tailor that to your mood.
That would be cool.
And that would be awesome.
So did you bring a red?
I did. I've also got a Pinot Noir here.
All right. BobCabralWines.com. 5:44 on your Wednesday drive, the twice internationally awarded California Wine Country here on KSRO. My co-host Dan Berger and Tom Simino, the original Sonoma County wine guy, in with Bob Cabral today, and Barry Herbst, the wine buyer at the fabulous Bottle Barn. Okay, tell us about this Pinot.
So the Pinot is a Russian River Valley blend, and I call it the troubadour. A troubadour is a person who has a very jocular kind of attitude and goes around telling stories. And I'm hoping that this wine really does tell what I believe is the true story of Russian River. And that kind of dichotomy is that it really is cold in many parts of the Russian River. I think we get kind of a bum rap for specific areas, especially Northwest Side Road and even East Side Road, or what we call the northern part of the Russian River. And it does get warm during the day. But I lived out at the Allen Ranch for 3 years. And let me tell you, it may be 100 during the day, but it's for a very short period of time, less than an hour. And by 8 o'clock, you're down into the 70s, and by 9 o'clock, sometimes you're into the high 50s. So there's a big, big diurnal shift that really affects how those grapes grow. I've chosen a couple of sites out towards Green Valley that I think are very cold, just off of Atascadero Creek near Iron Horse. The Graham Vineyard, Howard Graham, who also has August West brand with his winemaker. Now I'm drawing a blank. As well as a little bit of Pomard from a guy named Earl Stevens Pomard. It's a clone.
Isn't that something you put in your hair? that's pomade. Never mind.
Pomade, yeah. It's kind of like that, though.
Good, but really.
It gives a good body and texture. And then the bulk of the wine comes from a single vineyard out towards the town of Bloomfield, so very, very cold. Oh. And I actually picked that particular vineyard that makes up almost 70% of this wine after I picked the Chardonnay and almost every other vineyard I picked for Three Sticks. So very, very cold sites.
It's a very
in
special wine. Really special wine.
Tom Simino, tell me.
You think Dan is the lay-down guy? If I had this wine, I would lay this bad boy down.
Boy, this is
tough one. Wine in 10, even 15 years is going to be something else.
This is magnificent. And the way it was structured is Bob's, he started out in the vineyard making the decision to have this kind of acidity. You must have known what kind of fruit you were dealing with. You had to have played with this fruit before this.
Yeah, well, not the particular sites, but I knew I'd had fruit from or tasted wines from two of the sites, but not the coldest site, actually. This is a relatively young vineyard, and it had been going into somebody's kind of bulk program or large program. And Charlie Chenoweth is farming it for me, and Charlie just really has a grip on what to do in these cold sites. And it's kind of a southeastern-facing slope, almost a 20-degree slope, in some really nice gold ridge soils, and I think you pick up some of that kind of earthy loaminess.
Yeah, well,
you get a trace.
Tons per acre are we getting on this? Are we looking?
This was about this in 2015 was barely a 10.5 to the acre. Yeah.
This is an interesting structure in this wine because you have the aromatics come along the top of bone, then in the back part of the aftertaste, this is Côte de Nuit. So you've got both. Both the bone and the wheat, all in the same bottle. It's just remarkable.
Thank you.
That was my thought exactly. How about you, Jackson?
Yeah, I'm gonna lay it down in my trunk till I get home. Is that good enough? Listen, guys, I'm so happy you're all here. It's always a pleasure. Barry Herbst, to the wine buyer at Bottle Barn. Tom Simoneau, the original Sonoma County wine guy. My co-host on California Wine Country. Dan Berger and the great Bob Cabral, now also doing Bob Cabral Wines. Check out the website. But before we run out of time, we talked to Dr. Frank Chung, the president of SRJC, who knew this man well. We knew him pretty well. He was in many times on California Wine Country. Just a sweetheart of a guy, an amazing force of nature, and unfortunately, he left us yesterday at the age of 52. I'm talking about Christopher Silva, of course, the CEO and president of St. Francis Wines. I want to get you guys a take on this dude because he was, I mean, I met him, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago when he first came in, and he's been in a few times, and he was just a joy.
Well, he also was visionary. Very smart and very far-thinking. His ideas after St. Francis made the move from what ended up to be St. Anne's and then moved north toward Santa Rosa was to create a new image for what Joe Martin had started. He really did a good job of not trying to push it, not trying to aggressively do it. He did it subtly. And the property was one of those things that was an evolutionary process because Chris had such vision. And this property really has taken on a whole new persona because of Chris's background and his history. And what a nice man to boot.
Oh, I agree. And it became an Epicurean destination, as Chris Smith wrote in the PD today. They were named numerous years the best restaurant in the country, and they don't
not even a restaurant.
It's not even a restaurant.
Open Table.
They do food pairings.
Did the analysis on that, and it was basically the readers that put them down for that. But the pairings were pretty intelligent, and when you I went through it the one time, I was just blown away by the whole concept of it. But you know, it wasn't exactly what you'd call a restaurant. You couldn't actually book it. You'd have
But the food pairings themselves, the food and wine pairings, turned it into the number one restaurant in the country.
Right,
and it really wasn't a restaurant. Barry Herbst.
Yeah, I had a lot of. Friends and clients that were wine club members there, and you know, I kind of saw the back end of it. I didn't know Chris that well, but they raved about their experience. They talked a lot of times more about the food than the wines and the full experience. And I wound up sending quite a few people there based on that because so many positive responses on what had happened there. And then the brand in the marketplace is stronger than ever.
Yeah, it's
and the evolution, that is exactly it, Dan, because when you think about the different chefs that went through there,
right.
Over the way back, who was the gentleman that was at Madrona Manor? He was a chef there for a while. I mean, there were several different
Jesse Malgren?
No, it wasn't Jesse. It was before Jesse.
Oh, okay.
Was it Todd Muir?
Todd Muir. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And he was one of the first guys.
One of my former wives worked at Madrona Manor for Todd Muir. I can't remember
which
one
great
because
chef.
There's so many of them.
But when you said evolution, man, that was – it went bing because it was. And it was – you know, Martin had that – it was Merlot. He was Merlot.
He was Mr. Merlot, yeah.
He brought Merlot to where it was at its height. And then, you know, things fell apart about Merlot, but he didn't. He graduated from the site across from St. Jean there where St. Anne's is.
Right.
Building the new winery. And unfortunately, he's passed away now, but he had vision too. And I
Martin.
Joe was quite amazing.
He passed away at 80.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in, that was a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And I you know what? Mr. Silva, I don't know. I mean, he was so 52 years old, right?
Yeah.
And there's at least three people in this room who are way over 52. I don't know about you.
I am 55, so it hit me pretty hard when I read that this morning.
Barry's 35, I think.
Yeah. Well, it makes you think, you know, when you leave, like today when I left home, I kissed Brenda and I gave her a big hug. You never know what could happen.
Exactly.
You know, you got to love the ones and hug the ones that you love and just pray that we are all here and for a next show. You know what I mean? Because how long did it take him? 2 months, and all of a sudden he's passed away.
Well, yeah, it was April that, and he's, by the way, was a fifth generation Sonoma Countyan. But yeah, in April on his Facebook page, he said, he announced that he had brain cancer and he died yesterday at Memorial at 52. But just, I mean, he, 9 years or so that we've been doing California Wine Country, he was one of those guys who came in many years ago and just blew me away. I mean, you guys.
That's how I knew
you guys are all amazing.
I'd hear him on your show, and I go, you know, I should meet him. And I know he was associated a lot with the JC, but he got there just as I left from the JC. And so I didn't get to hear him and talk to him about all of his great ideas, the things that he's done at the JC. It's a tragedy. Only the good die young, you know. There you go.
Well, Frank Chong today, the president of SRJC, you know, he's only been president for a few years, but he told the story how Chris came in right after Frank took over as president and said, we need to do this. We're going to do a wine thing to raise money for SRJC, where Chris actually graduated from or went. And they're still doing it, and they're raising big bucks for SRJC every year.
Didn't they just have that a month ago or so?
And Frank said on the air today, he said, I said to Chris, basically, there's so many wine tastings and wine events in Sonoma County. And Chris looked him in the eye and said, you've obviously only been here a short time because there's so much wine to pour and there's so much interest and we need to do this. And they did. And it's going to, you know, keep going.
It'll go on and on and on.
Chris was definitely the kind of person that it's why you get into the wine business and you meet those rare individuals that you can honestly say, I'm a better person for knowing this person. You know, Godspeed to Chris. Yeah.
Go to PressDemocrat.com or pick up your newspaper and read Chris Smith's long story about Christopher Silva. God bless you, Chris Silva, and all the folks at St. Francis and his family, his wife and two kids. It's a real shame. Okay, we don't have much time. And excuse me, gentlemen.
We're back.
Tom, go ahead and
I just want to say we were chatting here. Listen. Bob Cabral was with William Selling for how many years?
17.
Okay, 17. Before that,
Hartford Court.
But Bob took over for Bert, right? And all of a sudden, everything just took off and got crazy. But let's say you go back 10 years prior when William Selyum was Hacienda del Rio and then changed to William Selyum, and you had a chance to get on their mailing list. Well, you have a chance to get on Bob Cabral's mailing list today if you go to bobcabralwines.com. Because in a few more years or even 6 months, people are going to say, why didn't I get on that list? Because I can't get on the list. Now there's a six-month waiting, 8 month, 10 month, 12, 4 years. So you got a chance now to get some of Bob's wines. Luckily, we were all here to taste them today. They're fantastic. And I tell you, if you want to get some great wine, get on his list.
Thanks, Tom.
BobCabral.com.
Thank you, guys.
And at some point, hopefully, because Barry and Bob have been negotiating.
We've got trips to France. You wouldn't believe what we've negotiated here in the backside.
Hopefully, you'll be able
to get it all figured out.
Hopefully, you'll be able to buy Bob's wine at Bottle Barn at some point. Dan Berger,
I saw the email, what we have next week.
Kathy Ficini.
Yes, she's been in a long time ago. She's great.
She's terrific. And good wines.
Yes, very good. It's
Trichini Winery.
Yes, exactly. All right. Thanks to Barry Herbst, the wine buyer at Bottle Barn, bottlebarn.com. Now you got about 30 seconds. Anything new you want to talk about?
Well, we're going to follow up our rosé tasting that was so successful last
the Hyatt.
Run. Yeah, we're going to do it at the Hyatt again this time, and we're going to do Pinot Noir in the end of August.
Cool.
We're going to do it on a Wednesday, so you can be there. And
we'll broadcast the show from there.
And we're going to send it to our mailing list, our insider list. So if you go to our website, sign up on the insider list, which used to just be for great deals we had that we got, but we're going to do tastings through that.
Yeah.
We sold out the whole tasting in like 2 days last time off that list. So
yeah. Bottlebarn.com.
You can get in on the Pinot tasting. We'll do the same kind of format, just a casual walk around, fun tasting.
Bob Cabral, wines.com, C-A-B-R-A-L. This guy is amazing. It's great to see you again, buddy.
Good to see
and
you
best
guys
of luck.
Too. Thank you.
Keep us posted. My dear longtime friend, Tom Simino. Always a pleasure, buddy.
That next month, we'll see you then.
Okay. We'll see him in July. All right, guys, thank you so much. Have a great night. All of you.